Why don't you go ahead and be seated? We'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful again, Lord God, for your mercy. Lord, for your love, for your amazing grace that's been given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we recognize, Lord God, that we're the most blessed and privileged people in this world, Lord, to know you, to regard you as our Father, and you regard us as your children. And Lord, to be able to come together in your house is such a great privilege, Lord. And as we open your word each time, Lord, we recognize that your word has power and it has the answers, Father. And Lord, sometimes we go through life trying to go about our own business, come up with our own answers, and we usually end up flat on our face, recognizing, Lord God, that we can't do it. So, Lord, just speak to us this morning and teach us your ways and help us, Lord, to be humble and submit to you and allow you to have your way in our life. Lord, when you tell us something, whether we want to hear it or not, help us to have open hearts and open minds to accept it. We pray, God, for those that are here, that are visitors, and Lord, that they might feel the love of God in the house of God. They might find that this will be their church home. Father, people here, perhaps, that don't know Christ as their Savior, we pray, God, that you'll speak to their hearts today. Bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For those who are left that are your people, that are here just to worship, Lord, I pray that you'll bless and speak to their hearts as well. And we'll praise you and thank you for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You might have noticed there was not a bulletin this morning. Two reasons. Trish was going to be out of town. She does the bulletin, but also there was not anything to put in the bulletin. She came up here to do it, and she grabbed me, and she said, we don't have any announcements, and this holiday season is over. Everything's just kind of slowed down. There was not really anything to tell you, so what you need to know will be on the screen, and outside of that, we'll have bulletins available to you next week and be right back into our routine. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to talk to you this morning about a three-letter word that, when it is spoken, gets the attention of most every person. It's a word that was introduced into man's vocabulary all the way back in the second chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2. God told Adam and Eve that they could eat of every tree of the Garden of Eden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if they violated that command, they would surely die. That's our word there, die, D-I-E. It's a word that represents the end of our life here on earth. And of course, we know the story of Adam and Eve, how that it did not take very long, just one short chapter, and they had already done the very thing that God had told them not to do. In just 14 verses, Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, and she had given to her husband Adam, and he had eaten as well. And before chapter 3 of Genesis is over, the two of them had been put out of the garden and had begun the process of dying. Now, when God told Adam and Eve that they would surely die, he did not mean that they would die at that moment. He did not mean that they would die immediately. They would die spiritually. They would be separated from him immediately. But they would just begin the process of dying. They would begin an aging process that had not been there before. From a physiological standpoint, they would slowly begin to age and work towards the day when their body would give out and quit and they would die. It's a process that we don't like, but it's a process that we all experience. Now, kids, they don't notice it. They're in the process. But we begin to notice it as we age. And by the way, if you're 51, I don't recommend sleeping on the floor all night. We begin to notice it. It becomes a little bit different. We're going about our business, living our life from day to day. We're trying to make ends meet. We're trying to raise our children. We're trying to fulfill some dreams. Hopefully we're serving the Lord, but all the while that living is taking place, there's also a slow, grueling process of dying that's taking place. We don't like to think about it. We'd rather just focus on the living. We'd rather focus on the bright side of just going out and being vibrant and living our life, but the issue still exists. And periodically, something will come to our minds that will interrupt our minds and bring up the subject of death. It may be a preaching message like this morning. It may be a health scare. It may be a funeral that we attend of a friend. Or it may even be just coming to an intersection and having to stop and wait on a funeral procession to go all the way by. It may be a near accident that makes us think, you know, I could have died. Whatever it is, it's when just suddenly our thoughts are interrupted and the thought, our mind is captured of with the subject of dying. And when it happens, we pause for a moment and we ponder that subject and we don't like that. In most cases, it's not enjoyable to think about dying. We don't want to die. I don't want to die. You don't want to die. But the fact is, we're all going to die. And it doesn't matter if you're prepared or not. There's still going to be a certain element of not liking the subject of death. Even when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and your sins are forgiven and you've been made right with God and you know you're going to heaven when you die, still there's a part of us that don't like the subject. We want to avoid death every way we can. There's a part of us that just wants to live as long as we can. It's that part of us that makes us look both ways before we cross the street. It's that part of us that causes our hair to raise on end and our heart to start to pound and our adrenaline to begin to flow when we think we hear an intruder in the night. You see, it's that part of us that wants to live. It's that built-in instinct of self-preservation that would cause us to run from a burning building. Self-preservation. We simply don't want to die. So with that in mind, I want to read our text. It's one simple verse in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians in verse 26. It says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." So first thing I want us to notice in this scripture, it points out something that we really already know. Death is our enemy. It's not our friend. If you ever had a bitter enemy, and I hope you haven't, but most of us at some point in our life have had certain enemies, we know that we don't like to be around our enemies. We don't like it when they come around. We try to avoid them. We don't really want to have any contact with them. In fact, if you and I would be satisfied if we never saw our enemy again. That describes our relationship to death, to a T. Death is our enemy. We don't want to be around it. We don't want to deal with it. We don't want to see it. We want to avoid it everywhere we can. Because at some points, sometimes death is a very cruel enemy. Sometimes death comes barging in without any notice, and children are left fatherless because their daddy was killed tragically in an accident. Sometimes widows are left destitute because the breadwinners of the family, their husband has been taken away abruptly. Sometimes it's a mama and a daddy that are forced to live the remainder of their life in sorrow because their precious child was ripped from their arms by death. The hopes and the dreams for that child will never be realized because cruel death has rode in on its pale horse. Sometimes it's a husband that has a wife that he cherished. He loved her beauty. He loved her voice. He loved her touch. He loved her nurturing spirit. He loved her care for him. She was his high school sweetheart. She's the one that made the house that he built into a home. She's the one that he's planned to spend the rest of his life with. And now he's told by the doctor that he only has 3 to 6 months with his high school sweetheart. Death has made an appointment with her, and it cannot be canceled or rescheduled, no matter what. Death can be a cruel enemy. And death can be unfair. You know, death doesn't care how hard you work for what you've got. Death doesn't care that you're planning on retiring next year and living out your golden years. It makes death no difference how hard you've tried to take care of your health. Death doesn't care if you've exercised. It doesn't care if you've eaten right. It doesn't care if you've paid attention to your doctor's visits and your yearly checkups. Death just doesn't care because it's unfair. You see it all the time. People who are extremely irresponsible with their lives. They live to be 90 plus years old, and they never took care of themselves. They never worked hard. They never were responsibility. They lived a life of vice and indulgence, but then they live way past the average mortality of a human being. And then comes on along somebody that's just the opposite. They've taken care of their business. They've been responsible, and their life is cut short. It seems unfair. And death is unfair. And death doesn't discriminate. When you think about it, death doesn't care what your name is. Kardashian, Trump, Bush, Kennedy, Turner, Gates. Those names don't mean anything to death. Death doesn't care what your title is. President, Pulitzer Prize winner, Oscar winner, Grammy winner, King, Prime Minister, Prince, Princess, Queen, A-lister, star, icon, Pope, whatever it is, death doesn't care. Death doesn't recognize titles. Death is going to come sooner or later. It doesn't discriminate. Now, I've painted for you a pretty dark picture, haven't I? Some of you are thinking, I came to church this morning, I should have stayed home and watched videos of the Holocaust. But I don't mean to paint a bleak picture. I just want to bring your minds to a point that we recognize how bad the news can be, but it doesn't have to be. Because there's good news. The thought of death doesn't have to be bitter for you and I when we consider the fact that through Jesus Christ, it's all been taken care of. The enemy has been destroyed. Roy's going to put on our screen a very familiar verse. We all love this verse. It's in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin are death." If you'll leave it up there for the remainder of our time, Roy. The wages of sin is death. It's the sin of Adam and Eve that introduced death to mankind. And it's the sin of each of us as individuals, you and I, it's that sin that ensures that that sentence of death will be carried out. The consequences of sin is death, both physical death and spiritual death. Now you say, what is spiritual death? Spiritual death simply means being apart from God. Our sins have separated us from God because He's holy and we're sinful, and so we're separated and we're going to die someday physically, and if we remain in those sins, we're going to be separated from God from all eternity. That's some bad news. But the good news is, the second part of the verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus made a way for the sins in our life to be forgiven and for us to be made right with God. So that when we do die physically, and all of us will, we'll go into eternity as children of God and remain there in God's presence forever. How does all this work? We all know that Jesus died on the cross. But why did He do it? Jesus died on the cross to take care of the big problem that you and I have, that sin problem. When He died, He was being a sacrifice for the sins of every person on the face of the planet throughout all history who would look to Him by faith and receive Him as their Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When you and I recognize that Jesus is the Son of God and that He has died for our sins, and we call upon Him as Lord and Savior, then our sins are forgiven. Every sin. The sins that we've already committed and any sin that we will commit in the future are taken care of. Therefore, we're made right with God. We become His child. We belong to Him. And so our problem is solved. We're right with God. We're no longer separated from God. We're no longer spiritually dead, but there's still another problem. We're still going to have to die physically someday. How are we going to deal with that? Well, Jesus addressed that problem as well. When Jesus died on the cross, His death was sufficient as a sacrifice to atone for all the sins of mankind. But it didn't end right there. We know that He didn't stay in the grave. Remember what happened on the third day? Jesus arose from the grave. He was resurrected. He was made alive again to live for all eternity. He's alive as we speak. Thus, he defeated death. And he made it where death has lost its grip. It's lost its control. Death is not final anymore. What does that mean for you and I? If we are his, not only are our sins forgiven, if he's come into our heart and he's our Lord, when we go through death's door someday, it doesn't have a victory over us. It doesn't win. It doesn't hold us down. It doesn't put us in a box to remain for all eternity. It allows us to leave and go be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. Does that mean death will never happen? That's not at all what it means. Death will come knocking on each of our door. We don't know when. Remember, it's unpredictable. It's unfair. It doesn't discriminate. It will come, but it won't be final because of what Jesus has done for us. Death will not be able to hold us. Just as it could not hold Jesus in the grave, it will not be able to hold us in the grave. We go directly, upon going through death's door, we go directly into the arms of the Lord in heaven. I don't know about you, but that's kind of relief to me. I don't have to dread death. I don't have to set and fret over death. I want you to look across the page in chapter 15, towards the very end of the chapter and beginning in verse 55. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you remove sin from the equation, which is the very thing that keeps us from God, remember, when that's taken out of the equation through Jesus, then death has lost its battle. Death doesn't win, we win. Death is ultimately, when you look at it this way and through the lens of Scripture, death is really ultimately a victory for you and I. The reality of it is, in a way, death is a gift to you and I. You say, well, what an unpleasant gift. That's a gift I could do without myself, but no, it's not. It's not a death you can do without, because without death, you would never be able to go into eternity with God. You'd miss out on heaven completely. And friends, I don't know how good your life, but I don't think it is that good. I don't care how many luxuries and pleasures you afforded. I don't care how easy your existence is. Nothing can compare to what heaven's going to be like in the presence of God. See, you don't want to stay here, I assure you. So the only way to leave here, with the exception of that the Lord comes back and raptures us all, if we go before then, the only way to leave here is death. Now that leaves us with a conclusion. And I want to talk to two different groups. How does these truths apply to us? First of all, I want to talk to Christians, those who are already saved, okay? If you're not saved, you're not going to be left out. I'll talk to you in just a moment. But if you're a Christian here this morning, you know that you know that you know that Jesus is in your heart. You know that your sins are forgiven. You know you belong to God. You know you're right with God. But there's always that little bit of element of a little bit of concern about death. I have it. As I age, I begin to think, it's the process. I've never gone through that before. I've never encountered that before. And so there's always a little bit of an element of concern, if not fear. That's natural to you and I. Largely because it's something we've never done. Plus, there's that natural built-in that we already talked about, that desire to live. And so you take those kind of things coupled together, and even though death has been taken care of for you and I, it's an enemy that's been defeated, still there's a little bit of concern there. I want you to notice in our text, verse 15 again, or 26 rather, I'm sorry. It says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Notice that word, last. Now, of course, it's speaking of the fact that in the very end, there will be no death in heaven, and God's kingdom, death, will be abolished, and there will be none, okay? But also, we can look at it this way. Death is the last event of our life. Our life is made up of a lot of things. Some of them not pleasant, some of them not fun. We have trials, we have difficulties, we have adversity that comes along the way. And God always helps us, does he not, Christian? He always gives us the grace to encounter or to get through those obstacles. God is just gracious. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He gets us through those steps of life that are difficult. With that in mind, if we overcome all those steps of life by God's grace, when we come to that last event, which is death, God's grace will be sufficient then. So if it's the last event of our life, let's save it for last. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. God has sustained you this far. He will sustain you all the way into eternity. I don't know how it may come, whether it's disease, tragedy, or whatever in my life. I have no way of knowing. It may be today. It may be 30 years from now. I have no way of knowing, but I'm not going to worry about it. It's the last enemy for me. And so I'll live day by God's grace and just deal with the life that's before us. We need grace for living right now. We don't need grace for dying yet. I want you to notice verse 57 once again. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every time those thoughts of concern come about, Christian, in your life about death and its process, remember that verse. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remind yourself. So I'm not going to worry about it. Jesus has given me the victory. He'll handle it when that time comes. His grace will be sufficient. I'm just going to focus on living right now. Just 2 minutes here. I want to address those who are here who've never been saved, never been born again, never had your sins forgiven. You don't have Jesus in your life. You're not right with God. And I want to tell you a fact that, not trying to be brutal or anything else, but you're not ready to die. Just so you'll know, you're not ready to die. You say, well, Brother Chris, that's awful opinionated of you and judgmental. No, it's not. It's the facts. Straight out of God's word, if you have not had your sins forgiven, you're not made right with God. You're not ready to die. You have reason to fear, because death will not be a victory for you. Far from it, death will actually be the end. Death will be the end of any opportunity you will ever have of coming to know God and living with Him forever. Because when death, when the pale horse rides in and you cross that threshold of death, there's no turning back and saying, oh, I want to go back and accept Jesus. I want to go back and get my sins forgiven. No, it won't happen that way. It will never happen that way. 1,000 times no, it will not happen that way. So what's the answer? Rather than sit and fear death, rather than sit and fret over when it may come and how it may play out, I can tell you, regardless of any of those elements of death, I can tell you one fact. When it plays out, and you don't know Jesus, you'll go into eternity apart from God in a place that the Bible calls hell and describes it as a place of eternal torment. That's not what you want to hear, perhaps. That's not what I wanted to hear when I was a youngster either. But praise God, a preacher told me that one time. And I responded by accepting Jesus Christ and having my sins cleansed and taken away, and from that day forward, death has been taken care of for me, and it can be for you as well. These are not fear tactics. Anybody that knows me well enough to know that I'm not here to frighten anybody into action. I'm here to give you the sobering truth of God's Word that you need Jesus as your personal Savior. We're going to baptize Natalie here in just a moment. Natalie, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We baptized Natalie and Nadia last week because they accepted Christ their Savior. We have two young ladies back here in the back row that accepted Christ their Savior after the services last week. Hopefully we'll get them baptized very soon. There are people being saved in our church all the time. You do not want to be one to walk out these doors an unsaved person when you've had opportunity to know Jesus. Why? First of all, you need God in your life. Secondly, you have no idea how long this life will last. I want to ask you to stand. If you're here and you're a little uncomfortable with